We're believing what God has said. We're looking at what His Word says about a specific situation. He's given us a promise, and His promises are what? They're yes and amen. So they're true. So we're praying, and He's giving us a promise with regards to the situation that we're praying about, and then we leave it at that a lot of times. When in reality, we should be saying at the end of that prayer, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you that you made a promise to me. Thank you that I don't have to worry, I don't have to fret about this situation at all, because you said that you would take care of it. What about the praise? And so we're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks here and develop and talking specifically, I was talking to our ministers about this back there this morning, about a lifestyle of praise. Ooh, a lifestyle of praise. We have a lot of different lifestyles in this world today. Well, I told them, and I'm going to read it for you real quick also. I looked up the definition of lifestyle. I wanted to see what Google had to say about lifestyle. And you never know what you're going to get there. But what they showed me, I really like this whole lifestyle of praise. And we're talking about a lifestyle of praise. So as I'm reading this, put it in the context of praise. So it says here, lifestyle, the consistent and integrated way a person or group lives, encompassing their habits, their choices, their values, their behaviors, something that is deeply ingrained, part of someone's way of life, their values and habits. It suggests that this person or group of people doesn't just occasionally engage in this activity. We don't just occasionally engage in a lifestyle of praise. Occasionally engage in this life, in this activity, but rather it's a defining aspect of their daily routine and their identity. Whew. Google had something to say. But you know what? A lifestyle of praise. This should be our identity. We pray, we should. The Bible talks about all kinds of different types of prayer. But man, when we're done praising, what should be our response? Well, I'm going to give you the title of my sermon. Take a Stance of Praise. It's the language of faith. When you pray and you stand on the Word, that's where we should be going when we're praying. We should be looking at what the Word says about our situation. But when you pray and you take a stance on the Word of God, and then when you're done and you believe it and you've received it and you're acting upon it, our response should be praise. Praise, I believe, for me, this is for Rick, is my outward demonstration, is my practical application of what I just prayed about. Believing that God is going, He's already come through. I may not see it yet, but I don't have to see it to know that He's already come through. That's just it. So, but my response should be that I should praise. I want to develop a lifestyle of praise. I want to take a stance of praise because that's my language of faith. That's my language that says, God, I believe you. I don't care what the situation says, what people are trying to tell me. I don't care what the government is saying. I don't care what politics is saying. I don't care what the economy is saying. I don't care what anything else is saying, because you made me a promise and I can take a stand of faith and I can praise you. I don't care if the price of eggs are still $6 a dozen. I don't care that they say they're coming down and I haven't seen it at Walmart yet, because you said you would supply all my need according to your riches and glory. According to His riches. How much riches does He have in glory? Man, some people say sky's the limit. No, there is no limit. According to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, a lifestyle of praise, especially when we don't feel like it. Have you ever felt like not praising? Come on, there's got to be more than just me. There's been days I'm like, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Is it just me? I'm not getting it. Is it just me, Darlene? There's days that, you know, you're busy. There's days that I don't feel like it. But developing a lifestyle of praise, I think that takes us past the I don't feel like it's, to where you get to a point where you feel like it. When I was working my other job of 26 years, I would read my Bible in the morning, and then I'd be at work all day thinking, man, I can't wait to pick it up when I get home again tonight. That's developing a lifestyle of I'm eager, I'm anticipating. There, I know there's something, I read some stuff in there and it was for me, and it was like, great, and I'm applying it to my life today, but man, I know there's more for me. I want to develop a lifestyle of there's more for me. And when I develop that lifestyle of there's more for me, praise you, Jesus, because you supplied all this for me. Whew, okay, all right. A lifestyle of praise praises God just because he's God. You don't have to get anything for it. Now, he's made us promises. There's benefits to serving him, but we praise him just because he's who he is. There's promises that he's made to me personally and for this church, that he's told me about this church. And each time that I think about them, I praise him. I was praising him for it this morning. I woke up and I was thinking about a couple of those things this morning, and I started praising him. That it's not that praise you, Jesus said that this is going to happen. No, praise you, it's already happened. I don't see it yet, but it's already happened. You know, and so each time that I think about it, I praise him. And one of the things that he was talking to me about, and I've mentioned it here before, is that we're going to have more young people, more middle-aged people, and more mature people walking around this church. You know, and not just walking around this church, but he's promised me that I'm going to be a part of people leading people to him. And really, that's what it's about. If I pray with somebody to receive Jesus and they go someplace else and they do great things there, I'm happy for him. But he's promised me that I'm going to be able to talk, and you, right along with me, we're going to minister to people. Man, when you see people at Cracker Barrel, when you see people at Cracker Barrel, and the Lord moves upon you to ask them, hey, are you born again? You might think, well, that's kind of blunt. Well, yeah, sometimes we need to be. Sometimes it calls for that. But when we develop a lifestyle like this, to where our focus is always toward him, to where our praise is toward him, we want to tell everybody else about him. So we're going to be talking about praise for the next 2 or 3 weeks, probably 3 weeks. But another thing, let me get this out here. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 40, start with verse 40. But young people are going to be coming here. Middle-aged people are going to be coming here. Mature people are going to be coming here. They're going to get born again. They're going to get baptized. I heard somebody say, I'm all for baptisms, and I'm all for these big baptisms that are happening out in the oceans and all that type of thing. But I did hear somebody say that, yeah, we had so many people baptized, and some of them were even born again. Huh? That should come first. You know, so I'm all for baptism, though. I'm all for people being born again. But if we look at Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 40, talking about people coming into the kingdom of God, talking about people coming into our assembly. And it says here that Peter had just preached the best sermon that ever was preached in the Bible, other than Jesus, on the day of Pentecost. And it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his words, then they were baptized. It says, were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. Whoo! Isn't that exciting? Praise God! He's still in the saving business. He's still in the baptizing business. And when we get a vision of what he wants with regards to salvation and people being baptized, coming into the kingdom of God, that should stir something in you, say, praise you, Jesus. And I get to be a part of it. You've called me to be your ambassador here on this earth. I get to be a part of that. Whew, okay. Let's go to verse 42. And it says, and after that, those 3,000, all them people got together, you got them 3,000. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, or teachings and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Down to verse 46. It says, so continuing daily with one accord, that is so important. If you want to see church growth, if we want to see growth in this church, we got to be in one accord. If there's discord, God hates it. That's the seventh thing he lists. People who cause discord or dissension among the brethren. Yikes, I don't want to be in that camp. Verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food and with gladness and with simplicity of heart, praising God. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And then what happened? And it says, and the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved. Come on. There's requirements in this. Some people think that we can read that word, oh, praise you, Jesus, and we should. But if you look at this verse here, it says they continued in the apostles' teaching. You got to be here. You got to submit yourselves to the teaching of the word. Not that you can't go on vacation. I'm going on vacation in September, just so you know. Marvin Yoder will be here at that time. Anyway. But it says they continued in the teaching and in praying and in signs and wonders. Oh. Okay. And then continuing daily in one accord. Continuing in one accord. So they're sitting underneath the teaching. They're praying. They're in one accord. And over here, and they're praising God. So teaching, praying, one accord, praising God. And what happened? He added to their number daily. Can we take no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? But can we take those things right there that I just listed, and can we look at those and say, am I walking in all that? Ooh. I'll be transparent, not every day. But when I realize I'm not, say, John, 1 John 1:9, whew, forgive me. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness now. Let me get back on track. And the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved. We got the parking lot out here. God made me a promise. Now the parking lot looks good. Now I was saying, not perfect, but better. And the Lord corrected me this morning. Stop it. I've given you 2 more years on that parking lot. Okay. Well, when the people were here doing the parking lot, I also asked them to give me a bid on the whole parking lot to redo it. Now, we'll get another bid too, but it's about 18,000 square feet that they would have to replace. And he did the measurements, he did the calculations, he came back with a number for me. And initially, there's a couple different ways they could do it, he later told me, but the first one that he told me, he said, well, we can do this for about $150,000. You know what my response was? It wasn't wow. It wasn't. My response was, God, it's your parking lot, not mine. You got to pay for it. Now, will he use us? We've come together in a year and a half, and $30,000 came into the building fund. God knows how to write a big check. You think about what the price of gold is right now. It's like $2,600 an ounce. How much do you think a gold was, an ingot, they call it, the thing about like this? How many ounces is that? Well, guess what? His streets are made of that. $100,000 is nothing. $150,000 is nothing. And so I took on the attitude like, okay, it's your parking lot. I'm not going to worry about it. Matter of fact, $150,000, well, we also need new carpet in the sanctuary. We need to paint the sanctuary, and we need to do something about the ceiling in the lobby out there. So let's add that to it, God. Now, some people would say, well, Rick, do you have $150,000 faith? Because I've heard preachers say that. I don't have faith for $150,000. Well, what's the Bible say? I don't care what your faith says. I want to know what the Bible says. And God, the Bible says, and my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If he said it, I believe it. That settles it. And it doesn't matter if it's $100,000 or $500,000. He said he would supply. So all I got to do is say, it's not mine, it's yours. I take care of it. So that whole camp of, I can't believe for $200,000, I don't believe that. I believe the word. And the word says he'll supply. It's just the way it is. God makes a promise, and he backs it up with the word. He's told me, I'm just giving you a couple of things that he's told me. And he says, I'll back it up with my word. All you got to do is believe. You notice that I said that praise is my language of faith. And what I mean by that is that I'm coming into agreement with what the word says. And when I come into agreement, see what the word says, come into an agreement with it, all I got to do is say, okay, lift my hands, thank you, Jesus, because your word is true. Your word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Come on, that should be the attitude that we should have. You face stuff in your lives. What does the word say about it? Find out what the word says about it. Come ask me if you want some word about what it says about your situation. But what does the word say about it? And when you know what the word says about it, you can go to 1 John 5:14 and 15. We quote that verse around here all the time. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, which is his word, we know that he hears us, and we know that we have the petitions that we ask. That's what the Bible says. So what is it that you're going through? What is it that you're needing? Does it line up with the word? Find the word, take a stance, and praise. Because it's a done deal. It's done. I think for too long in the church world, I don't think that that's being taught in a lot of situations. If the Bible says it, that's it. Done. It's done. Now, think about this, and don't be condemned. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But were there any thoughts of praise that came out of our mouths on the way to church this morning? Or did we wait till we got to church during praise and worship? Then we can praise. Like I said, I woke up this morning praising for who he is and the promises he's made to me. Developing a lifestyle of praise. What did we say here? It becomes your daily routine and your identity. Because when you praise him, you're showing confidence in him. Whatever your situation may be. A lifestyle of praise, you'll lift your voice because he's God. And the best way that to succeed, I was going to say win, is to position yourself for praise. To maintain a stance looking to praise. Get the word of God on your side, and it is, and take a stance on that word of God and praise. I'm going to ask Justin to come up forward here. Many of you know Justin is in Aurora, Colorado, which is where Carrie and I, when we first got married in 1984, and I didn't tell her until the night before we got, you can come on up on stage here, till the night before we got married, she found out that we were moving to Colorado. So, and my best man was the one who told her. So she had to quit her job in the next few days and get a United van line thing all hooked up and getting us moved out to Colorado. And we moved to Aurora, which is where Justin is living right now, is in Aurora. Now, it's grown quite a bit since 1984. So I think when we moved out there, there was maybe 2 million people, and I don't know how many are there now. But most of you know that Justin is also out there, and he's involved in mixed martial arts, been doing mixed martial arts for quite a while now. I'll have this handy just in case I have a question for him. So how long have you been doing mixed martial arts?
Since I was 6, 7.
And how old are you now?
20.
So it's been a while. Been about 14 years. And so he knows a little bit about mixed martial arts. He's out there currently at a gym. What's the name of the gym?
High Altitude Martial Arts.
High Altitude Martial Arts. See, we just gave him some free advertisement. And but he's out there training, and when you're back here, would you agree, when you're back here in a small pond, you're the big fish in the pond? But when you go out where there's a bunch of other big fish, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
A lot different. So anyway, but he's out there, he's competing, he's doing well, he's in good physical shape, we would say. And so he's doing what he loves to do. Now, in mixed martial arts, you don't get into the cage and you stand there like this and say, okay, let's go. There's certain stances that you'll take. So if you were to engage in a match, and the bell rings, or Mike McCartney, was built Mike McCartney. Let's get it on. You know, he does that business there. What would you do? What stance would you take in the center of the ring? Okay, you see what he did right there? All of a sudden, he staggered his feet. His feet were staggered. He wasn't like this. If you're like this, you can be rocked. But if you stagger just a little bit, it creates a foundation. So you've got your stance like that. Go ahead and get in your stance. And let's say I'm his opponent. I'm going to go up there, and I'm coming into attack, and he's in his stance. And you notice he didn't really move. Now, if I were to swing around this way, would he keep his back to me, or would he turn and change his stance? Go ahead and turn and change your stance. Would he turn and change his stance? Sure he would. He's not going to let somebody attack him from behind, get in behind him, throw on a rear naked choke and choke him out. I watch UFC. Anyway, but I like to watch people beat each other up. But anyway, but he would turn. He would get in his stance again. Then I would come at him again. Solid. He's not going to move. It doesn't matter what direction I come. If I come this way, he's going to turn and get a stance again, and I'm going to come at him. If I come over here, may as well hit all four corners. He's going to stand there, and he's not going to move. He's going to maintain that stance. He's going to be solid in his stance, and that's how our stance should be when it comes to the Word of God and lifting our voices and praising Him. It doesn't matter if the enemy comes this way, comes this way, comes this way, comes this way. We're going to maintain our stance. We're going to lift our voices. We're going to stand on the Word of God, and we're going to say, "Thank you, Jesus!" Because we cannot lose. I'm sure he's won a few fights. You won a few fights?
A few.
Okay. Not a few. Okay, he's going to get technical on us. He says, "I won a few fights." Not official. but no, he's made preparations, though. Since the time he was 6 years old till the time he's 20, that's 14 years. It's been a time of preparation for 14 years. To get to the point where he's at right now. How many in this room have been Christians for more than 14 years? Have you been positioning yourselves on the Word of God? Positioning yourselves on the Word of God is where you got that firm foundation so that when the enemy does try to attack, you can say, "No, my God will supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus." Positioning yourselves and say, "Thank you, Jesus, that this is who I am in you." We can be strong. You want to stay up here with me the whole time?
No, I was
with you. No, I want you to stay up here. No, go, no, go ahead. Let's give him a hand. Give him a hand. No, I wanted to use him here today because he knows what's required when it comes to taking a stance with regards to mixed martial arts. And not just the stance, there's a lot of other things involved in this whole mixed martial arts stuff. But he knows the stance that he needs to take when somebody's trying to attack him. The defensive mode, actually, he's probably thinking offensive at the same time. But you take a defensive stance so that you cannot be taken down. Some people will try to shoot in on you and grab your legs and take you down. But if you've got that stance, you're ready, then they can't take you down. You sprawl, they call it sprawling. You sprawl, and they can't get to your legs and take you down. Well, guess what? That same analogy, it works with the body of Christ. It works in the kingdom of God. That if we're prepared, I'm getting a little warm. I've been wrestling too much up here. But if we're prepared, we take our time in the Word of God. Get our solid foundation, that stance. So that when the enemy does try to attack, because he is going to attack. It says, the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Well, guess what? Weapons are being formed against you. They just won't prosper. When you're standing on the Word, you're ready, you see them coming, you open your mouth, you speak the Word of God over that situation, and when you're done, "Thank you, Jesus! I win every time in you." Let your focus be toward Him at all times, no matter what the situation is. Last week was Mother's Day. And we took time and we focused on women, not just mothers, but women in general. And you know, when we take a stance on the Word of God with our corresponding action of praise, We got to realize it's done. And God loves me, that He loves me, that He takes care of me, that He has the best for me. And when you praise, you express confidence, trust, faith in the one that you're praising. And like I said, we just talked about Mother's Day last week. And in Proverbs chapter 31, talking about moms, women. Actually, he's talking about women. It says, "Hear, children, her children, rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. My daughters have done well, but you excel them all." And I'm thinking about that. You know, the children and the husband, they praise her. Their focus is toward her. They see what she's done, and they appreciate it, and they praise her for it. They lift her up because of it. Gosh, put God in that seat. Put God in that seat. But it goes on here. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Any women in here that fear the Lord? I saw one. Any women that fear the Lord? I love participation, just so you know. Well, you should be praised. Your husband should praise you. Your family should praise you. Why? And not that you're demanding it, but they see it in you. Okay. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And not only your family. Praise her in the gates. People around you are say, "Hey, look at that lady there. Whoo, man, she is, oh man, she just does the works of God." People in the city will praise her. When praising it, and I put down here, when praising your wife, you have confidence in her. Your focus is directed toward her, and you won't be drawn away to another. Ooh. If you're focusing on your wife, if you're praising your wife, if you're looking to help her, to lift her up, you're not looking to a bunch of other women. Men? Huh. Okay. Moving on. But the things that you praise will dominate you. The things that you're focused on are the things that are going to dominate your life. If you're more focused on money, money will dominate your life. What's the Bible say about money? The love of money, not money, but the love of money is the roots of all sorts of evil. So it's not wrong to have money. If it's wrong to have money, it's wrong. If it's wrong to prosper, then why are we going to work every day? Oops. Okay. I won't meddle in finances right now. We're talking about praise. We're talking about praise. But whatever the direction, like I was talking with Justin, whatever direction the devil tries to attack, you meet him with your mouth open. He's coming to attack, you don't just stand there like this. I mean, the Bible says in Luke 10, it says, God is saying, Jesus is telling his disciples, so he may as well be telling us. He says, "I've given you all authority. I've given you authority over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, and over all the power of the enemy." So if he's given us that, we should praise him for that. He's given us power over all, authority over all the power of the enemy. So when Satan comes to attack, we don't let him attack with our mouth shut, because he's going to attack. He came at Jesus and tempted him in the wilderness. And what did Jesus do? He said, "It is written." Attacked him again. What did Jesus say? "It's written." A third time, "It's written." And then it says that Satan left him for a more opportune time. Oh, so that meant that he was coming back again. So guess what? Satan, if you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God, then Satan, you're not a threat to him. But if you are, he's going to keep coming back. And so if he keeps coming back, then you've got to open up your mouth and let the word of God come out of it, giving praise and glory to God, because it's him working through you to take care of these situations, whatever it may be. Give him praise. Give him praise. You know, if praise dominates us, praise God. And what I mean by praise dominated us, it's our language of faith. If it's dominating us, then love will dominate us, because God's love. And if love dominates us, then we don't want to hurt anyone. But I want my thoughts and my toward people to be directed the same way that Jesus directs them toward people. I want him to dominate me. in that way. And if he's dominating me in that way, I can't hold a grudge. I heard somebody say yesterday, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping the other guy dies. Doesn't work that way. If Jesus is dominating you, if praise is dominating you, if praise is your language of faith, then you have to love. It's just all there is to it. This week here, did I have opportunity to walk that out? Yeah, I did. I got a phone call, not from anybody in this church, but I got a phone call that to me felt like a rebuke because of something that I had made mention of, which wasn't bad, but it felt like a rebuke. And initially, it felt like the person was talking down to me. Now, I've taken on the attitude that nobody is better than me. They might know more than me, may be able to do more than me, but nobody is better than me. But it felt like that I was being talked down to. And what did I do? I got off the phone, and initially that feeling was there. But I got off the phone and said, thank you, Jesus, that there's no condemnation on me. I'm in you, so I can't have these feelings of condemnation trying to attack me. The devil would have these feelings to try to come against me. But I lift my hands and I praise you because your word says, I'm taking a stance on your word, opening my mouth in praise because that's my language. You talk about all these love languages. Let's add praise to it. Praise why? Because we love God. So I had this coming toward me this last week, but I chose to focus my attention toward God. I chose to take a stance and take a position of praise instead. And you know what? I think after a few minutes, I just forgot about it. I didn't allow it to dominate me. What I allowed to dominate me was a voice, my language of praise to God, because He's my deliverer. He's my comforter. He's the one that sees me through whatever it may be. So I chose a position of praise. Psalm 22, verse 3. This applied to our worship this morning, which I thought was awesome this morning. But it says, but you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel, O you that inhabit the praises of your people. So when we were praising Him this morning, He was here. He was here. I think that maybe I shouldn't speak for the church world, but I'm going to. I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes praise and worship can be so concert, nightclub type thing. And I don't mind the lights and the smoke and all that type of stuff. I like all that stuff. But if that's your focus, that's not good. He inhabits the praises of His people. He doesn't inhabit the lights, the smoke. It's His praise, the praises of His people. He was inhabiting when the words, the praises were coming out of your mouth. He's right there with, boy, I just love that. Boy, you're the apple of my eye. Just like John, and I say this too. I stole this from the Apostle John, disciple John. I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. Anybody else the disciple that Jesus loves? Okay, well, good. I got some people on my team. But He inhabits the praises of His people. Now, we're not going to get to this morning. But our primary passage that we're going to use is going to be 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So if you want to go home and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that'll get you prepared for what's coming. But we're going to land this plane here in probably about 4 minutes. Wasn't it good to honor Lonnie this morning? I look back at him when Shigazirim started that, and his face turned beet red. I love that. Then he had his glasses off. I won't embarrass him and tell you that he was crying, but anyway. But it was so fun. It was fun honoring him. And make sure you stay afterwards. Get some cake and ice cream. But since God inhabits the praises of His people, the enemy flees at the sound of your praise. Darkness can't stay where light's at. And if he's here, he can't stay here. Man, when it seems like something is coming against you, when it seems like the world is crashing down around you, man, find some Bible to stand on to start with, and then just start praising God. Praise Him until it leaves. Don't give up. Praise Him. We're going to end this now. I'll pick up with it next week. We're going to get into talking about praise again. praise, taking a stance, a position, a stance of praise, and let that be your language. And what are you praising? You're praising the fact that the Word of God says. You're praising the fact that God is true to His Word. You're praising the fact that God can't lie. And you're praising just the fact that He's your God and that He loves you and wants to make a difference in your life. Father God, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You that Your Word is true. We thank You that You love us. We praise You because You are such a good God. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Okay. Can we just take a minute just to lift our voices just a little bit and praise to God, worshiping Him for who He is? Father, we just praise You and thank You. Praise You that You love us. Praise You that You are so good. Praise You that we don't ever have to wonder whether you've abandoned us or not, because You said that You wouldn't. Your Word says that You'd never leave us or forsake us. Your Word says that You're in the midst of us when we gather together. So we praise You for that. We have confidence in You. We trust You. We have faith in You. And give You praise. Hallelujah.